Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on here. A lot of things happen. I'm using a walker to walk. Hips fucked. A lot of pain. Doing nothing. And that's okay. I got 8 months down the road. I'll be all right. Very dear friend. Very dear cousin. Died yesterday. And really makes my hip pain kind of pale in comparison. She fought leukemia for 6 years, and she went through hell, and she still wanted to live. 58 years old, and she fought it for 6 years in and out of hospitals. Lost all her hair multiple times, lost everything. Not that hair is that important. I'm losing my hair. She was at the University of Minnesota Hospital for 7 months. No, 9 months. And I'm just glad that she made it back to her home and back here in North Dakota. She made it back a day and before she died. And she got to say goodbye to some people. Wasn't my place to go out there. That's very, very personal and private. Very close to the family. So Jody, hey, I don't know where anyone goes when we die, but hope you're in a good place, and hope you're hanging out with my mom, because my mom will make you laugh your ass off. Alright, let's love the Jody Johnson, just a sweetheart. I was just thinking, I was watching Joe Rogan, his thoughts on depression. You know, he's a knowledgeable dude, he's a regular guy, he smokes some weed. You know, he parties. He's badass in the ring. You know, he doesn't compete, but big MMA guy, jiu-jitsu. And his thoughts on depression are kind of fucked. I don't really, I don't agree with him. He said, you know, depression is not a caused by any sort of chemical imbalance, whatever. What do you want to call it? And I really wish I could sit down and talk to him and say, hey, Joe, you know, I've been studying this shit since I was 16, before, when there was nothing, no research, nothing, just a bunch of shit pills from the 50s called tricyclites, but they were crap, and they hurt, and they were bad. I tried them once, was prescribed them, but then I realized, every single person sees something and interprets it completely different. I could write down one sentence and hand it all around to the room, to 10 people, and we'd all have a different interpretation of what it was. We don't see things the same. There was, I don't know where I saw this, it was some movie. It was a man asking about time travel, and it wasn't even about time travel. It was just about strange things that went on in the world, and he was looking for, you know, the supernatural things, these time space issues. I don't want to call them issues, but ideas. And one of them was, What does does the window washer at the top of a or anyone at the top of a 40-story building, do they, because they can see so far, do, you know, are they in some sort of a time warp where they can see things ahead of you? Of course they are. That's the simple, that's the most simple answer. It, it's not, you know, some of these things just don't seem real complicated. Like I said before, if you don't believe that, there are more, things in the world than we could ever grasp, blow a dog whistle. Not going to hear it, but the dog will. So that is an absolute classic case that we don't know what the fuck's going on. anything, man. If we had a, there are colors around that animals see that we that aren't even on our spectrum. Our cones and rods in our eyes can't see that shit. You know, back to the depression stuff, you know, I may have come across, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours, maybe even more than that, you know, just an incredible amount of time in my life spent in a library, researching everything I could, trying to help myself, because I'm fucking miserable about 98% of the time, but I can still have fun while being miserable, somehow, I don't know, and, you know, Joe and I could have read the exact same thing and gotten two completely different interpretations of it. So that, you know, that I just find that fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. So we we're the strangest fucking creatures on earth. We don't, you know, people follow patterns, but they're not always the same pattern. Every pattern is different. You know, you can drive to work the same way, do the same fucking thing at work every day, take piss same time every day, but you're going to sneeze, so that's going to change. You're going to, you might choke on a little bit of egg salad, cough it up, and you'll be fine. That's a big change. There are patterns, you know, these, chaos theory, you know, if I throw a stone, across a river, then maybe that will, kill a fish that is full of eggs that's going to lay them, and maybe one of those eggs would be, end up being the largest fish in that river in, be a world record. That's chaos theory. I'm being on it. I don't know. That's why it's chaos. Then, you know, just my own life. I was in college for 7 years, and Jesus Christ, did I learn a lot, and did I forget a lot? But, Carl Jung, psychiatrist, psychologist from, contemporary, well, not friends with Dr. Freud, but Freud was a fuck. But Jung, he was quite a case himself. But his greatest, for me, his most important work was, he didn't say deja vu, but he said when you have two separate ideas and factors and things that you think about or things that you've done and something and somehow they meet and form the same idea in your mind and you connect with them, you know, that, fuck, what's the name of that? Synchronicity. And, a lot of time it, you know, it's referred to as deja vu, and, really, I always make it a point to try and write that down, or remember a lot of those times, because there are so many things that do have maybe happened, so many ideas that are strung together, so many things that, we've imagined, we've not imagined, that could be real, could not be real, and why are not they real, and, you know, I might have stepped through a little hole into just a little bit different, into a different way, so we interpret things different ways, so, you know, going back to my cousin, you know, we're all going to interpret her death a different way, and a lot of people are going to be mad that she's dead. We're going to be... I'm very sad and distraught. Her mother and I are just very close. My aunt, she just... I absolutely love her. And, and Jody, she was just... God, she was so much like my mom. Frightening. And, just a big heart. But we're all going to remember her differently. I think that, across the board, she's going to be loved, by just about everyone. She was a real deal. Yeah, she was Jody wherever she went. She didn't fuck around. You know, I'm about 58 different people sometimes whenever I go somewhere or if I need to be. I can talk myself into anything, but I can also talk myself out of it and get away and probably end up being better off from it. Maybe money, you know, who knows. Not getting arrested. But the memories that I have of Jody are great. She's funny, just full of life. But the comprehension that we take from everything is, guys, it's wildly different. It's wildly different that our synapses are firing, and they're firing at a billion of them. There's no numbers on that. You can't. Our scientists haven't figured out a way to much about the brain at all. Antidepressants and anti-anxiety. Meds have come around from being a side effect from blood pressure medication, heart medication, Wellbutrin. I'm about 98% sure on this. Wellbutrin was a drug to help stop smoking, but everyone felt a distinct feeling of better, feeling happier. So then it was, you know, booked, locked, stocked, and changed into an antidepressant, and someone made a couple $1 trillion from that, and that's fine. I don't care if I have one penny, and I can take an antidepressant that'll help just a little bit. I'll gladly do that. I don't care. I know how my world works. I don't know how anyone else's does. I read books. I read a lot. I'm reading some just these great books. Right now I'm into some pulpy horror fiction, and it's great. It's great. It's one of the first times that I've... Since I was 18, 19, that I've read books strictly for fun instead of really, really digging into, you know, books that I would have or did study in college. And, you know, there's huge parts of Moby Dick that you don't need to read that add nothing to the story. But I read that a couple times, just to really get the overall effect that Herman Melville wanted to portray in his absolutely giant of a novel. I say that with all sincerity, that Moby Dick may be the finest novel ever written. You can talk about the Russian authors. I just don't think so. I think Albert Camus, The Stranger, that comes close, and Franz Kafka, well, shit, he had about 8 of his stories, his books, that could easily be in the perfect novel category. You throw in just 1984, Animal Farm, but those are short stories by Orwell. There's an author like Martin Amis, Money, he wrote London Fields, Time Zero, or Time Quake, I can't remember, one's of Kurt Vonnegut book and the other's Amis, but that's just fascinating. Absolutely the best writer of the latter half of the 20th century, from 1950 on. Catcher in the Rye, most overrated book, novel, piece of crap ever. Just a pile of shit. And he gave me a 14-year-old and they can write a better book than that. It's so fucking pretentious. God, I hate that book. I really do hate that book. People think it's so fucking great. And, because it's probably the only book they've ever read. Ooh, I'm gonna name my son Holden after Holden Caulfield. That's a bunch of shit. Why don't you read a real book? yeah, and while I can put together an essay, but I'm definitely not a writer. I don't have that in me. I have great ideas that I write them down, and I've written some screenplays, and thought of making some short movies, documentaries, and it's getting easier now with technology that I will be able to do it. But once again, going back to being a complete introvert that's perpetually injured in pain, that the only thing I do is I go to the Y, I go to the doctor's appointments, and I go to the grocery store. So my life's it's gonna have to change, or not. I don't know. Is this, you know, this might be it, and I'm comfortable. Not happy, but that's okay. I don't expect happiness. Never did. And if you expect happiness out of life, well, I really think you're wrong. Stay in shape. regarding my hip, I'm supposed to get gastric bypass, but two of my doctors have looked at me, took my shirt off, and I said, look, I've been lifting weights for 35 years. This is muscle. You know, I definitely do have fat I can lose, but that's only about 20 pounds of fat I can lose, and then I'm down to 10% body fat, and then it's going to start eating away at my muscles, and that's fine, as long as I can get my get my hip surgery. You know, fuck, I'll eat bean sprouts for fucking a year to get that taken care of. And it will come. It will, this will end. It's, been going on since I was 42. My knees went, and they feel fine now. Well, they feel okay now. Using a walker, it's, I don't mind it. It gets me where I need to be with as little amount of pain as possible. And people are surprisingly nice. I think I look so miserable all the time that I do get a little bit of sympathy. Or, you know, and there's a lot of people that are very empathetic. And I appreciate that. And if someone doesn't want to hold the door to help me out, that's just fine. Fuck them. You know, fuck me. And I don't ask for anything special. But, you know, I'm kind of in the wastelands right now. July 4th, and I'm really not going to be able to get anything done until late September. But that's not that far away. It's not that far away. I've got a lot of real books to read. I do 5 days in the pool a week. I do, you know, I don't even think about going in the weight room because I would just put more muscle on my body. And so I just spend some time in the pool getting myself, I feel good in the pool, and when I get done with my workout, I feel good. But if that hamstring and groin muscle start to pull, I stop, take a day off, try, put some heat on it, put some ice on it, but it's virtually impossible to stop that pain. That's due to the tear in the labrum just pulling the fuck out of those muscles. So I shuffle around like about a 98-year-old man. Or 98-year-old man probably feels better than I do. Once again, talking about myself way too much. I feel my cousin, my lovely cousin Shelley in North Carolina, she's taking Jody's death very hard, and that hurts me. That hurts me. I'm too empathetic. It's part of the package. She's really destroyed over this, and I feel it a grand sadness inside of me, and I don't want to go to the funeral, but I'm going to. Funerals are a strange thing. But that's for another day. That's another conversation. Each culture, each person has a different idea about that. You know, I could write down one sentence or one paragraph and pass it around to 250 people, and pretty soon we'd have a big fucking fight and a war. Someone would drive over me with a tank. Just a little introspective tonight. I'm going to try and read a little bit. Just a few movies. Pretty soon I'm going to see every movie. Eventually, by my birthday in December, I'll pretty much have seen every movie. And even the ones that are about to come out, I will get invited to a pre-screening, probably by someone who have heard, hey, there's that guy named Brent Billa he's seen every movie, and he reads all the time, and he sleeps, and he goes swimming, and he goes to the Y, and he goes to his doctor's appointments, and then he goes to the grocery store just for fun. Oh, man, I didn't want to be 47. Jesus, what the fuck? What the fuck? I don't know. Well, calling this an end. I don't know if I'm feeling better or worse. Who does? Who doesn't? I've got some great friends. Love them all. And I really don't give a shit about too many other people. You really can't stretch a severely depressed, lifelong, bipolar, BPD, anxiety, panic, whatever the fuck you want to call it. You know, I've already stretched too thin. That's a terrible metaphor. But, you know, it's true. I'm on my last nerve. And I can hold it together. I've been through worse. I've been through fucking withdrawal. I've gone from taking 25 to 30 2-milligram tablets of Xanax a day, and I quit cold turkey, and I was awake for 8 days, then I had a seizure, and I was in the hospital, and my body just started going nuts, and I got that down to a level to where it's very short, very small, and I don't abuse things anymore because I know the hell of withdrawal. And man, any physical pain, well, it does cause physical pain, withdrawal, mental pain. You can't stop your mind from just going nuts. Your heart beats. I thought I was going to have a stroke many times. I didn't want to go to the emergency room because they would give me exactly what my body wanted, was that drug, and that would just waste my 8 days. But that's a horrible, horrible thing. It's just a terrible thing to go through. You know, it's really fucking fun taking drugs, once your body feels that once, every single other time, it doesn't feel as good. Except smoking weed, man. Doesn't matter. You know, you get high. And, you know, have some Nilla wafers, a little bit of milk. And, you know, watch some Hogan's Heroes and, you know, either laugh with your friends, put on some music, go to bed, and wake up and bake it again. So I'm gonna leave it at that. Wake and bake. I've got a I have the opportunity to be a part of an owner owning my own ski resort. A small partner, but a partner nonetheless, and I would love to spend my remaining years there. And I don't think I have too many because I have a lot worse pain and things going on in my body that I'm not going to talk about. and tell anyone about, because I don't want someone to hear this, but that's it. I know no one will hear this, but good night and good luck. Take care of yourself. Take care of someone else. Just take care. Be real nice to animals too, and people. Just be kind. If you're in a really shitty mood, just wait and just say hey, or just put a fake smile on your face. And it's real simple. It's real simple. I do it. I'm in a bad mood all the time. I try to do my best. Just don't piss on anyone else's day. It's just as bad as yours.